If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Wall Street's record-breaking year shows signs of continued momentum, with the rally broadening across the host of sectors. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, let's bring on Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, and I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Yes, and we've seen quite the tear for stocks, I mean, over months now, and we're looking at the end of the year into 2025, and I guess we'll start today with where are we at, and then we can kind of head over to where we're going.
Yeah, I thought where we're at. I think the difference for 2024 over 2023, which were both positive in the 20% range for the S&P 500, is in 2024, we now have about six or seven of the 11 sectors in the S&P 500 that are outperforming the index, whereas in 2023, there was only two: communication services and technology. Obviously, the Mag 7 helped that. But the broadening out of the market this year, especially towards the end of the year, has been terrific. I think that the three things driving the success this year has been a surprisingly strong economy, good employment, the low level of unemployment, good jobs numbers, except for October for most of the year, and better economic data. But the consumer continues to surprise us to the upside. And I think that's what's caught everybody off guard. And I think that as we head into 2025, I think this broader market rally is likely going to continue. And I would tell you that one of the things that people haven't noticed of late is that the small caps are making a run here. And I think the small caps, because they're domestically focused, not adversely affected by a strong dollar, and certainly less impacted by tariffs, are making a significant run. So for the first time in 3 years, the small cap Russell 2000 made an all-time high.
Yeah, and it's nice to see markets actually playing the broader market playing a little catch-up. And you see that continue.
I do see it continue, yeah. So things like industrials have done really well, quietly building out the data centers and the energy production for artificial intelligence. So a little artificial intelligence adjacent, but certainly doing some interesting work, and especially as we start to see ISM manufacturing numbers perk up a little bit. So I think that's very exciting. I think that as we look at the financials, they've certainly been a well-performing sector this year and will likely continue as the yield curve steepens a little bit. But I certainly think that as we head into 2025, I think there's two things to contemplate. So we've got a pro-business new administration that will likely have a lighter regulatory touch and probably either try to keep the corporate tax rate where it is or even lower it a little bit more. And you have to juxtapose that against tariffs. And if tariffs are the new normal, then that's not going to be good news. But I would tell you, if you went back to the last time this administration was in power, 2016 to 2020, tariffs were really used as a negotiating tool. The only real country that got tariffs placed against them were China, and because of the things that they were doing with steel and dumping the solar panels and things of that nature. So I suspect this will be a repeat of that. So I think we have more tailwinds than headwinds heading into 2025.
And then what could derail all of this? What's that? What do you think the biggest threat to markets is right now, Art?
Yeah, the two things that keep me awake at night is that as opposed to posturing or negotiating, we actually use universal tariffs on everything we import to build up American manufacturing. It just doesn't work, and that'd be inflationary, and the Fed would have to start raising rates again, and that would probably push us into a recession. That's certainly not our base case, but that's a fear that I have. The other concern that I would have is that the tough talk on immigration that surrounded the campaign versus what you can actually logistically and legally do, hopefully are two different things. So there's, you know, there's no chance you're going to round up 10 or 20 million people and put them someplace and then deport them and think that's going to be good for the economy. So I think that rhetoric has softened a bit, and it's likely the folks that, you know, might have done something wrong once they got here, they get deported. But those are the two things that are outliers for me. I think the other thing to keep an eye on is if China cannot figure out to stimulate their economy, they've been a drag on the global economy for 3 years now, and they're trying to pull all the levers they can. But if they fail here, it's going to be very disappointing to see the demand for goods and services out of China remain at the low level that it's at. Again, not our base case. I think China's trying to figure this out, but those are the three things I'm the most concerned about that could derail a positive 2025.
We talk about catch up, you know, the rest of the market kind of catching up with the leaders. Are there some areas that you see maybe a little more growth than others?
I would tell you this. So two of the worst performing sectors this year likely shine a little bit better as we head into 2025. So one is energy. And the story around energy is that the price per barrel of oil is sort of stuck in a range here. You know, let's call it $70 in round numbers. It's averaged right around $70 for the last 3 months. A little bit below that now. But the equities are throwing off a valuation that throws off a $50 barrel of oil. I don't think that's going to be the real case. And I think even with deregulation around the energy complex in and of itself, we've got the North American energy companies that are really thinking about returning shareholder capital. So I don't think we're going to go from producing 13 to 16 million barrels a day in this country and drive the price of oil down. And I think the energy complex is probably one of the cheapest. If you look at any of the fully integrated companies like Exxon and Chevron, they pay very nice dividends, and all of them are trading at very unchallenged multiples. The other is healthcare. Healthcare always gets beat up in an election year because there's assumptions that are made that there's going to be radical changes to what Medicaid and Medicare can pay for. The Center for CMS and HHS is going to negotiate prices down. And then all of a sudden, they likely don't do anything draconian, and the healthcare sector in general does better. So two of the most beat-up sectors that I really think can shine in 2025 in the first quarter, energy and healthcare.
And energy, here's an interesting thing, too. I was thinking, you know, they were demonizing energy and in investing in energy. I think with the new administration, you're going to see a little bit of that pulling away. So capital inflows into the industry, I think, could be rich as well, which is going to play to higher stock prices.
I couldn't agree with you more. And this is an industry that has really found the religion of being conservative and how fast they do things. But the technology that we have in North America to find hydrocarbons and bring it to the market, especially with LNG, and if you remove any restrictions on LNG, we'll be the producer of LNG for the world, which is going to take away the dependence on countries like Saudi Arabia and Russia. So I think there's a very bright future for energy. All the companies are trading at very unchallenged multiples, and most of them pay very nice dividends.
Yeah, I mean, think about with the LNG thing, opening that up. I mean, the United States becomes the energy provider to the world. There is just so much upside potential and good things by that happening. Explain.
It really is. We have literally centuries of natural gas that's available. And if we can get that liquefied and get better ways of shipping that, which we're doing all the time, and if we continue to open up those possibilities, we're going to be shipping out LNG to everybody in the world. And that is going to be a peaceful place to get it from, as opposed to having to be constrained by getting your energy product from countries that aren't that friendly to you.
Now, as for AI has been just the big theme that we've seen over the last couple of years. Is there another big theme that's going to emerge in 2025 as we look at markets going forward?
Yeah, I will tell you this. So AI has been the theme, and obviously the early mover advantages have been the companies like NVIDIA that have the chips that are the best for the compute power that you need for large language models, and the companies that are early adopters and can afford those chips. But I think the next segment is going to be those companies that actually tell you how they're monetizing AI. And Amazon just had a meeting today that was amazing. So look at Amazon. You don't typically think of those guys as an AI darling, but they were actually showing you the results of how much more artificial intelligence is making them productive. I think this is going to be a host of companies that aren't in that Magnificent Seven that let us know that artificial intelligence is making us better at what we do. And I think that's where the investment opportunities are going to be in 2025, along with the companies that are industrials that know how to build data centers, that know how to provide power. So I think there's going to be a whole sort of AI-adjacent environment in 2025 where it's, oh, we forgot about this piece of the puzzle, and now it's here are the people that are providing the picks and shovels and getting this on the road for everybody.
One of the areas that I've been kind of keeping an eye on is nuclear and the need for energy for some of the data centers and the back of AI. The technology's come a long way. Nuclear energy is very green, and it's a long, long time since Three Mile Island and some of the other issues we've seen. It's come along. The technology's come a long way. Any interest in that part of the energy infrastructure?
Couldn't agree with you more. And it's not like Three Mile Island was a very large nuclear plant that had an accident. Technology has changed massively since then. And at this point in time, you're talking about putting small nuclear reactors that are very safe, very self-contained, to provide the massive energy needs that artificial intelligence will have in all of the data centers. So yeah, I think you're spot on looking at that and looking at those companies that provide that.
Crypto and some of the other asset classes that have emerged over the last couple of years. I'm thinking Bitcoin and Ethereum. You also have precious metals, some other asset classes. Any interest in, say, crypto or, say, an alternative asset class?
You know what's interesting? So everybody looks at the crypto move that it's made post-election, which has been massive. But everyone kind of forgets that we entered this year at, call it sub $50,000 for crypto and moved up to $70,000 before the election even happened. And I think the real adoption of cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, has been driven by the fact that you and I can do it easily. We can invest it in ETF. They were approved. There's likely going to be a lighter regulatory touch, so there's other ETFs that will be approved. There'll likely be an Ethereum ETF. So now there's, a couple of handfuls of Bitcoin ETFs. So the average person that wants to put some small percentage of their portfolio or their investment in exposure to cryptocurrencies now has the ability to do that. Now, obviously, the new administration is very pro-crypto, and that's why we've seen that $70,000 to $95,000 move in Bitcoin. I think that continues. I think it's the ease of use. The early adopters that had their wallets and their cold storage and all the things that were a little too wonky for you and I.
Yeah, well, that would be us. We're the Gaines degens. I can't even tell you the amount of wallets that we have with fractional Bitcoin, Ethereum.
Fine.
And then we're always looking for currency drops. So, yeah. And being the early adopter in some of this, boy, there were some big profits to be made on some of these, coin drops.
There certainly were, but I think it's now a mainstream investment asset
that
people can look at and say, all right, I want to have somewhere between, 3 and 5% of my assets in some crypto, and I can do that very easily in an ETF that's very low cost.
And all the platforms, too. I mean, look at Robinhood. I mean, you could trade like 20, 30 different, cryptocurrencies on Robinhood. The adoption is huge, and each one of these big cycles, we see further adoption. So I'm very pro crypto. On December 6, 2022, we did the Gaines podcast predicting that was the bottom of Bitcoin. We told the Gaines listeners, hey, back up the trucks, Bitcoin 17,000 and change. This is an opportunity. We predicted $1 million Bitcoin in a couple of years. We're about a tenth of the way there, but I could see that. I feel very comfortable with our forecast. And
I think you're right. I think it's heading up and to the right. It's it's got a limited supply. It's actually in market capitalization larger than silver right now, if you can believe that. So there's a lot of positives, but it's the ease of use that has really gotten the adoption up there. So you being an early adopter and me being a baby boomer, it's easier for me to talk to people about, if you want access to that, here's a BTF, and there's a couple that are really great, and they're very low cost. and you don't have to worry about it. Now you have access. You're not missing anything. And I think that continues to be popular as we work into 2025.
Yeah. The one thing I do want to say is believe in all of this stuff long term, but there's another part of this where we've come a long way, and it does a lot of things seem pricey. Full disclosure, I'm looking for a bit of a pullback, a further pullback of Bitcoin before we finally break through that 100,000 area. And I got it. Just for the gains listeners, I was going to say my favorite altcoin, though, if you want to get in on something that I like that might even stand out better than some of the other crypto, Uniswap. But that's just, you know, that's my personal little tip for the gains listener. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I was just going to say, understand that this is a very volatile asset. So that's why you want to keep your percentage of your portfolio small and understand that since its inception, there has been, you know, somewhere between the 30% and 40% drawdown every year, right? Yeah. You know, we talk about the S&P 500 that has, you know, 10% drawdowns on an average of once a year. This is an asset class that has a lot of volatility. So it's not for the faint of heart, but it's certainly something that the adoption is picking up in, and the future looks bright.
And then other areas of the market, anything that you see really poised to have a run? I'm just looking for a couple specific stocks or ideas that you like right now as we wrap up today's discussion.
All right, I'll tell you this. So three of my favorite stocks going into next year. Clearly, Amazon is the winner, both on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and a valuation that is actually reasonable for the first time in a long time. And they just had an investor day. Couldn't be any more impressed. So very unchallenged multiple for someone for a company that's growing its revenues the way it is, and they continue to gain share. And there just doesn't seem to be another. I would tell you another name that I absolutely adore is TJ Maxx. And I say this because TJX is an off-price retailer. They're not in malls. And every time a department store has problems, you know, think about Kohl's or Target and being over inventoried, that is a win for TJX. So keep an eye on that. I know it's trading at a 52-week high. I know it's had a great year. It's going to have another great year next year. The third thing I would bring up to you, and I just think it's a well-rounded exposure to energy at a very cheap price, is either Chevron or Exxon. They both pay 5% dividends. They're trading at multiples that they haven't seen in years. And I think energy prices are stable where they are and likely bump up higher, especially if China demand comes back.
Well, Art, we must be drinking the same Kool-Aid because love Amazon, ticker on that AMZN. TJX, we're talking about people love the treasure hunt, the value. The TJX really does it right. And then CVX and XOM, the two oil players you were talking about, love them. And while you're holding these stocks, nice little dividends as well.
You certainly get paid to wait, right? So I'm glad we're on the same page on all that.
And as we wrap up today's Gains podcast, final thoughts as we're heading into 2025, Art.
I would tell you this. Decembers are good for markets, and everyone knows that. So I don't know how much of that December Santa Claus rally we've already pulled forward. I would just relax and understand that Decembers are up 74-75% of the time. And understand that heading into the next Fed meeting, they're likely going to cut rates again. But don't expect the Fed to be cutting rates as frequently as they did this year, next year. There's 8 meetings. They'll probably only cut rates at 3 or 4 of them. That doesn't matter. If they don't cut rates, that means the economy is too strong. And I think we're going to have a very good 2025.
Big thanks to Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.